Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big on your landscaping project now at Menards. Whether you're installing a patio or a new retaining wall, Menards has the blocks you need to get the job done right. We carry the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Stop in and get our 12-inch smooth patio block on sale now. Save big on concrete landscape blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Let's go over to another big case we've been following. For months, almost everything about the case against a teenager accused of killing Anna Kempner on the Carnival ship was locked away, a sealed file, a juvenile proceeding. Very little anyone outside that courtroom could actually see. Then the seal came off, a detention hearing transcript unsealed, and all at once, the government's evidence is out in the open. Footage tracking his movements step by step, a phone found smashed in a trash bin, DNA testing, an autopsy, and there's a turn that has people fired up, even with all of it laid out, even now that he's charged as an adult and facing life, a judge let him walk out and stay free until trial. Even with more evidence against him than ever before. Oh, and by the way, there's minors apparently at the house where he's staying. And the judge is still like, I need to talk to somebody about this. Is this appropriate? I don't know. So how much is this evidence really worth? And how does a case like this really get built? Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, and Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent and chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. There's a lot to get to in this new drop of information that has come out on this case. Not just the fact that his apparently it looks like he smashed her phone and dropped it into a garbage can. But there's also a bigger piece to this equation that I think ties a lot of it together, in my opinion, in terms of motive. It's also been revealed that she had an encounter, a relationship, if you will, with a consensual one, with another gentleman on the ship, prior to being violated by her stepbrother. And so they looked into him. They checked his DNA, too, to make sure that, and he's checked out. He had nothing to do with this, it looks like, obviously. But I am wondering when we're trying to go to what made this 16-year-old, you know, predator in actual real life, snap the way he did. And I'm thinking that might be the answer right there. Jealousy, anger, rage. It would explain all of it, quite honestly. He discovered she was with someone that wasn't him, and she was never going to be with him to begin with. But I'm wondering, does that answer our question of what put this nutcase over the edge?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I'll tell you what, there's just, you never want to say the word always. Let's go with 99%.
Yeah.
See what Robin says. But there's always a proximal event. There's always a proximal event. Yeah. You're going, whether it's the Crumbly case, what made him snap. I mean, his dog died. His best friend moved away. Those are the proximal events that moved him. In this case, jealousy, rage, all of that, I think, pushed him over the brink. There's always the last, you know, little bit of push that somebody gets that wants to do this anyway. And then they're really pissed off and they go through with it. That's what I think.
Yeah, yeah. Especially with someone like this, I can imagine you have a degree, and that's of the accused, Timothy, of fantasization going on about in the anticipation. Oh, finally, going on a cruise. They're putting her in my room, and you have this buildup in your mind of what you expect it to be, and then you find out she's with someone else on that cruise in which you had that. And that, like Jen said, it's a pinnacle event, or, you know, triggering event for me. And that was because he was on an arc. He was definitely arcing on this behaviors towards her. And it's when that arc is escalating up and up and up, and then you have that kind of fantasy coming in because your parents put you in the same room with her. And I know people yesterday were commenting on, well, they had to put her with her, them with her because she's the adult. And yeah, but you can always not stay in that room. But either way, that my conjecture is that kid was fantasizing that I finally have her to myself. We're in the same room together. I'll kick the little brother out and we'll have this romantic, whatever was creepy crap is going through his head. And then he finds out she's with someone else and he snapped.
When I read that, that was my, like, oh, that explains everything.
There's always something, you know, because when you see these things, past is prologue, not just with individuals, but with cases. That, you know, first time you see anything, in most cases, like, all right, who's got the life insurance policy? Where's the jilted lover? Where's the child custody issues? Where's the fantasization from some nutter that, you know, has, you know, targeting someone in their lives that's escalating? And there's always an event that puts them over that edge. All you got to do is look for it.
Let me ask you this. I mean, this is a very, I mean, there's plenty of crazy, horrible adults that think this way too, but it is a very immature, very adolescent way of thinking, very reactionary, very non, you know, grown up brain that processes thoughts like this. And he's being tried as an adult. And he chose that path. Should he be being tried as an adult? I mean, I hope they lock him away and throw away the key. People like this, even if you're 16 and you do some shit like this, there's no saving you. But at the same point, I don't know. This is a very juvenile way of thinking. He's doing a very childish. They're very adult, horrible things. They're not adult. They're monstrous. They're predator like is what they are. But. Again, if we try to understand the way of thinking and the way he's operating here, this doesn't sound like an adult. This sounds like a kid, like a kid that has body parts that are functioning like an adult and a brain that's functioning like a predator. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Jen?
Well, you know, this case was one of these from the minute this happened. I was on it. Why? Because I worked in the Virgin Islands, and one of the cases I had when I was there was a homicide. On the cruise ship. And so it was just all kind of brought all that back. I just was on this case. And when I found out it was a juvenile there, as I had explained for probably the past 9 months or so, there's the Juvenile Delinquency Act. And the only reason I'm familiar with that is working gangs where you have all these juveniles. And the federal system does not charge juveniles. There's a couple of very rare cases on Indian reservations. That's it. So you knew one of two things was going to happen in the juvenile delinquency court proceeding. And that was either A, they had to move him up to an adult, which only happens in the absolute most egregious of violent cases, i.e. this case, or B, he's going to be turned over to the locals in Miami-Dade or Broward, whichever one it was. I can't remember what the court was. I thought it was Miami-Dade anyway. And they were going to handle it. And the Bureau and the AUSA's office decided, no, we're taking this one. This is absolutely too egregious not to take. So that's the reason that it's there. So I guess to your answer, a huge court proceeding took place to decide all of this with all sides weighing in, all the facts known. And a judge said, listen, we got to get this guy tried as an adult. So I defer to that decision. I'm not going to say, though, I was pretty surprised.
And I just researched, you know, potential upsides. Again, I'm going to try to channel my inner Bob Mata and on this one. Choice is unusual and for being defense driven. But so here's some upsides by waiving his right to be tried as a juvenile, right to a jury trial under this. And also guarantees more of a right or more opportunities for plea deals as well. Broader constitutional protections as an adult, potential for faster resolution and better plea deals, strategic sentencing and public perception factors is what they're saying on this. But the downside is sentencing guidelines are much higher as an adult than as a juvenile. So they're really rolling the dice on it. But My guess, you know, and this is what both Eric and Bob say all the time, is I think it increases their ability to get a plea deal if this evidence is so stacked against them. And because remember, this is, you know, I know we haven't talked about the parents yet. I hope I'm not jumping ahead on our topics on that, Tony. But remember, it looks like the parents don't want to be dragged into this whatsoever. They've distanced themselves from them. Yeah. And so if you don't want to be involved, you don't want, and you're trying to distance your crazy family from the craziness of this accused homicidal maniac, the first thing you want to do is have them plead out. And so if this increases the ability to plead out quicker, it makes sense.
That's kind of how I've been reading it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I said a long way. It's like, I took a long road for you to say the same thing.
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, I feel like that kind of feels like where, I don't know. I mean, everybody's got their motivating, but I don't know. I mean, it's been a weird thing because obviously there was signs that home life wasn't great. There was warning signs there that seemed to have been ignored. At least that's my conjecture. And I think the conjecture of a lot of people, the parents had not been charged with anything. I'm not saying they had anything to do with the murder or anything like that, but you go, oh, what was the recipe that made this kid? And now this kid acted out, and despite the warnings, now nobody wants to be responsible for not seeing the warning signs. It's kind of what I'm saying. And maybe that's just it at the end of the day. There's nothing to prosecute here. There's nothing criminal that went on with the parents other than just irresponsible parenting, maybe. I don't know. Or just not being aware, not being as in tune with your kids as you should be. That's about 95% of parents.
Avoiding the crumbies.
So, you know, I think it's a hard thing to litigate there, but it's another observation where you go, well, this could have been prevented. He walked around apparently after the fact with her cell phone, busted it, dumped it into a garbage can on the cruise ship. Somebody who worked on the cruise ship found it. It had been pinging the system's Wi-Fi the whole time, so it showed exactly where it was. When you show that, when we see here a sign of a cover-up, even more than the life jackets that were jammed on top of her body underneath the bed, even more than him blocking his brother from getting into the room, even more than him walking by the scene as everybody's standing around this door and they realize it's a crime scene, what's happened in this room, and he just casually takes, you know, a jaunt pass so he can get to the lunchtime buffet. Who knows where he was going? But the fact that we see this this attempted cover-up that's going on beyond all of that, what does that tell us about the case in terms of helping or hurting his defense? I mean, it certainly shows that there was a consciousness of what he did in the initial lines of, I have no memory, no recollection of what happened, kind of goes out the window now that we see he went and tried to hide her cellular device after the fact.
Totally agree. Consciousness of guilt, that's what it shows here. And it shows a cover-up. It shows it's baloney that he didn't know what he did. And it shows that he knew what he did was wrong. Mm-hmm. So you add that all together. No, it doesn't help the case. Again, he's going to be tried as an adult, but will, like we saw in the detention here, age be sort of in the back of the mind and at least be mentioned by the judge. Now, remember, it'll be a different judge. There's a U.S. magistrate judge, which is the first step in any federal case. They handle the detention hearings, probable cause hearings if they occur, and bond hearings. Then after that, it will be remanded to a district judge that will actually decide the case. Let's hope we don't get one as liberal. I mean, it's egregious that somebody who is being tried as an adult who has committed a rape and a murder, allegedly, is walking. You would never see that happen. I am stunned at the decision. Wow. And I knew he went by, there's only two, a lot of people were trying to understand this. There's only two things that can be considered by a judge. Is he a flight risk, and is he a danger to the community? And the judge basically said, well, look, this whole time he's been out on bond, before this, he hasn't done anything wrong. Bzz, that is also a very, very bad answer, in my opinion, because what happens is as court continues, as he figures out he's going to go to prison for many, many years, that's when an event will happen and he's going to be out.
Yeah. So the desperation kicks in. It's not there yet.
This whole thing's helped. Everything's happening is helping the parents. Everything. So imagine this. my conjecture hat, you know, playing reverse in optics. So you put him in jail in a general population. What's a 16-year-old going to do to people mm-hmm. that they can't control? And then those people, and so those people now are going to be called on the witness stand. They're going to be called to testify. Meanwhile, if he's hiding out in his uncle's house, who's he talking to?
Yeah,
I think
that's a good point.
I think this entire thing is just covering for the parents.
There's a lot of steering that's going on.
All the adults in this house, 100%. And so as important as he is, because he's the one that took all the execution of this, he's now become a pawn of all the adults in this thing, I think, covering their asses as well.
Everybody that doesn't want to account for their poor behavior. And again, I'm mm-hmm. not saying that was even criminal behavior of the parents or anything like that, but
they're
the
just
bad behavior, it's accountability that everyone's mm-hmm. hiding from. The accountability of this being their kid, of not being responsible enough to see the red flags when they were warned about it, allegedly. I mean, all that. I mean, granted, this is all our conjecture. This is all our opinion, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, I mean, it all seems to be stacking that way without a doubt. I mean, and they don't have, and there's only certain levers that are able to be controlled by them. But at the same point, he is 16. One more thing on this. No danger to the public. It was a minor that he is a minor. But the thing is, he's staying, apparently, that we've learned now. It's not just with the uncle that has the landscaping business that we all thought, okay, well, I guess, you know, the uncle all by himself with the landscape. No, it's an uncle with two kids in the house. And that's part of the equation now, too. And the judge is still like, I don't know. What could possibly go wrong here? Gee, I wonder.
And that seemed to be his fetish, as one of our great commentators in the chat was saying. His fetish is this. And to Jen's point earlier, too, I looked up the stat yesterday. The probability of judge letting someone like this out on and to roam free after their charge like this, I think it's like 15% of the time is the only time it happens. I mean, extremely low.
I mean, are people looking at the – and I'm wondering how – let me ask you this one, Jen, and we'll go to the next topic then. He looks like a child. I mean, you've seen the pictures of him. He looks like a kid. How much is that – I mean, how do you think that'll affect the jury on this if it doesn't get pled out?
It's going to affect the jury because you're going to have moms in there that have issues with their kids that can't control their boys or girls, whatever it may be, but particularly boy in this case, because he's a boy, and you're going to have them thinking about, oh my gosh, you know, and you're going to have empathy, I think, set in. I mean, if I'm the defense attorney, I want an entire panel of women.
Moms.
I want moms, I want young women, I want grandmas, I want the whole gamut, and I don't want to see one guy. Yeah. That won't happen, but that's what you're going to want, because they're going to have, they're going to look over, believe me, they're going to have him dressed up like a Pee Wee Herman in terms of like looking like young and
sitting on Sherry.
And looking completely oblivious like he always does. I mean, you're right. He's a compelling figure for sympathy if you didn't know exactly what he did. And that's why I'm agreeing with you, Jen. I think it's in his best interest to have a jury trial. But my bet is it's going to get pled out.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it at all. The evidence is just so strong, and they're going to fall on the sympathy of a judge that might say, listen, this kid needs another chance.
And you know what? So far, judges have been sympathetic towards him. So, yeah, why not, right?
Little Timmy wants to drive the boat. your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.